Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to the War Master Podcast, episode 81, with your Paul and your Barry.
And a special guest star, Phil.
Phil
Vestry.
So
basically this episode is...
Your parents called you Phil?
Yes.
It reminds me of that guy Neville.
Neville. So, we are recording in a car, so apologies for not the
very
great
nice
sound.
Car,
but it's raw, and people like rawness. And you get it for free. And this episode is called War Master World Xmas 2017.
Road Trip Edition.
Oh my god. Yep.
Do you think we'll ever get bored of going up to one world?
Nah, I think so. It's taking on a new form of life, isn't it? Because it's like, it's a cool venue and it's a day off from life, trials and tribulations, isn't it?
That's it, family life.
Family life.
The joys of family life.
Joys of family life, you know.
So, I think this is year three.
Yep.
Of the trip. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it. I'll certainly be looking around the tables
for
the 40K with a little bit more interest.
I want to see the most ridiculous thing.
I'll try and get some pictures.
I just want to see who's done the most ridiculous thing in here, and be like, and just laugh myself and amuse it.
I still have no interest in the Age of Shitmar. But somebody might be playing 8th Age or 7th Age, you never know.
We're going to take you round, Barry. We're going to linger by the submarines.
Exactly.
With heavy bolters.
With the Age of Sigmar, they're doing something big, I think.
Killing the Sigmarines off?
No, because they can't actually die, Barry.
That's disappointing.
But I think they're doing something big with, death. So I think you've seen the Gash again. He's already in it,
How did he get off the last place?
What, the Gash?
When everything blew up?
I don't know, really.
You're the expert.
But he became, he was a god, essentially, at the end. Does he even die in that sense? I don't know.
No, you don't know much. You read the books, didn't you?
The End Times.
Did they not have a dumbed-down version?
He kind of transcended, what he ever was,
All the Skaven got, though. They blew themselves up.
With
the cheese cannon to kill the moon.
None of them got to the moon, sadly.
Good. Goddamn cheese cannons.
That was the intro. What have you been doing?
Merry Christmas.
What have you been doing? Especially.
Me? I've been ill with man flu. Now, legitimate fact, man flu exists.
Yep.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Apparently men are weaker. We have weaker immune systems, more susceptible to colds and flu, more susceptible to dying to colds and flu.
Okay.
No joke.
Yep.
No joke. So I was in bed a couple of hours each day, Christmas Day and Boxing Day. Which was fun.
You proper Scrooge.
You bugger.
I bet your kids love that.
They do. So we're in man flu. That was interesting. We're going to talk about Christmas presents in a bit.
Yep.
The other thing I played Unstable. Did I tell you this?
Yeah, what's that?
So it's a magic set. Now, this kind of strains credulity a little bit, but I promise you it exists. So it's a magic set where none of the cards are legal in any format.
Oh, okay.
They're silver bordered. They're like joke cards.
Yep.
And it's really, really good.
So where do you get these cards from?
They're just regular boosters. So they're sold in regular booster boxes.
Oh, okay. Right, so they give you a card that's just we've done this one for fun.
Yeah, the whole set is fun.
Are these the ones where you've got to got to play under the table or something?
A little bit. When they rebooted Fantasy?
Yeah.
And they had you've got to have a moustache, whoever has a laugh.
Yeah.
All that kind of... So you've got to drop dice from the height of 12 inches and whatever lands on. You've got to high-five people. And if they don't high-five you, your stuff gets an ability.
That sounds great.
It was good for Christmas, yeah. It was very good. So, and it has been really popular and sold out.
Fantastic.
Well done, Wizards, for a change. So, Unstable, if you get the chance to play it, it's definitely worth playing.
Yeah.
And that is literally all I've done hobby-wise. Which is nothing. Man flu, one game of Magic in the run-up to Christmas, that's it.
Okay, fair enough.
What have you done, Paul?
What have I done recently?
Normally Paul's world first.
Yeah, okay.
Because it
makes yours sound less depressing.
Well, it feels have some time.
So have some time. Okay, so I've had a lot of shifts on. Christmas is a busy time. Oh, Merry Christmas, by the way, to everybody out there. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Jeremy Hunt.
Yeah.
Keep up the good work, fella.
Great. Yeah, it's very busy in my A&E department, so I've had a lot of shifts on. I will continue to have a lot of shifts on. I'm working all New Year as well. Yeah, I know.
Did they loop you up before they gave you the rota?
No, I got Christmas Day off. What are you talking about? Yeah, but I've just had two very busy days at work, so this has been like with no breaks, 26 hours, barely a break, barely any food. I get bare deal in prison.
Well, I'm sure it didn't affect your concentration one little bit. I'm sure not at all. No,
I mean, like,
outcomes were jeopardized.
There's a good story to tell you about that one, that'll be off camera, it's not off tape. So, but I have played the new Necromunda.
2D.
It's not 2D. Well, yeah, it is a 2D. Oh, okay. It's not really 2D. It's a 3D game, but set on the lower board. So every physical barricade, everything is all there. You do line of sight from that. So it's not 2D. It's not 3D, but it's just no levels. But I played it with Darren.
Height.
Yeah, basically.
That would be 2D,
yeah,
I guess.
And I really liked it. I thought that this edition of Necromunda is a lot better. They've worked on a lot. They've worked to the point where the issues of the old game aren't there.
Heavy stubber?
Nope, doesn't exist.
Oh.
And Overwatch, only a learned skill, so it's not really a problem. The gangs are a lot more diverse in weapons and skills and stats and everything. They are uniquely different. And this set, everything they've done for it so far looks fantastic. The only thing with this box game of it is the physical walls aren't there, they're just black spaces, because that would need a lot of scenery. But third parties are starting to do those as scenery add-ons you can buy to make it like a Zone Mortalis style, really looking cool looking game. So I'm very tempted by that, actually, because if I'm gonna play a bit of Necromunda this year, using my Gene Sealer cult as Delac while I wait for my Delac to turn up, that'd be a really nice way to do it. If we play the game, because that way also you could be very easy to set up. I think they're doing more tiles of it as well. So, well done. GW for that. Well done. But that's about it. I've also been painting quite a bit. I've finished off the Empire that I brought today. So they're finally done to bed, put away. And I've worked out how I'm going to base my Chaos Dwarves. I'm going to use basically the same way you base the Martian, 40k force, Adeptus Mechanicus, the Red Earth stuff, which will look really good.
The cracking paint?
Yes, the cracking paint, yeah.
Right.
Are you going to use the GW specific stuff?
So what I did was, I used I used the Citadel painting app and I went through all the ways they do their bases, and then I went to GW and bought a bunch of the texture paint, including a little tool to apply the texture paint as well, and then experimented with. I got a half dozen bases out and just tried doing those bases and to see what they look like. And I think I knew before I started when I was going to choose anyway, but I just wanted to see the effects. I'm still unlike you, Barry.
When your eyesight starts fucking going, then you know.
Fair enough. I've settled and with what I was doing, and if I didn't have this deadline now to get to get stuff finished for today, I also did a few Toomkin units as well from Polar Fox. Hopefully they don't get noticed.
Really? You're making Polar Fox shit here?
Yeah.
What kind? Just regular units?
Just a couple of units of Polar Fox, yeah.
Yeah, but what?
Infantry.
Infantry, yeah. There's billions of them, mate. Nobody's going to spot them in the millions of fucking infantry that there are.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody tell GW. If I didn't have these deadlines, then I would have already started basing up the Chaos Dwarves. So that's my next hobby project. And something... we have a bit for New Year's resolution. So
I do.
Yeah.
But that's the main topic, fella.
Yeah, okay. So that's what I've been up to.
Okay. Very modest.
Xmas presents. Barry, you're first.
So I'm very good at giving lists of presents.
I get a big list. Yeah.
No, I mean, to providing lists. I mean, I take it to the next stage and provide links to just click here and buy.
Yeah.
That way you kind of get what you want. I don't end up with too many jumpers that I'm never going to wear.
Yeah.
My mother-in-law insists on buying me clothing that's like three sizes too small. And for like an 18-year-old boy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, oh, so that's all going to go back. But my sister-in-law and my wife and stuff know better. And they just follow the links, buy the stuff.
Yeah.
So this year I got Pandemic, which is like a cooperative game for the family.
Yep.
Have you played that?
Is that the classic Pandemic that's like on a computer games and stuff where you've got to stop the spread of a disease around the world?
Yeah, four diseases.
Yeah.
But that one. Yeah. But it's like cooperative because my wife and my eldest son are very competitive, so they don't like losing. If they lose, they get all stroppy.
Yep.
My wife's the worst. If you beat her once with a game, she'll never play again.
Really?
Yeah. Terrible.
Can you invite me around for a family games night then?
Oh, so you could beat them?
No. I'd like to see that. Like, I don't necessarily beat them, but like, well, that'd be quite fun.
If you're playing Pandemic,
yeah,
we win as a team.
Oh,
so you'd like it? But how do I win? No, you don't.
What you need is a game where there's one player against all, like against everybody else, and I can be that one player. So I can be the evil.
You can be the evil.
I'll volunteer my services for that. I can be like the whole family Pittman versus Paul.
Paul, the killer winter.
Exactly. Be like, I'm either the bad guy or like I die the hero. Fantastic.
So, and we also got Memoir 44, which I've had my eyes on for quite a while.
Yep.
It's the Richard Borg World War II version.
Uh-huh.
So the guy who did Commanding Colours and Battle Lore.
Yeah,
I've got quite a lot of his stuff. And I got one of the expansions for that. And that's good. That's good. We'll definitely run through that game.
Okay, fantastic.
I'm not sure we'll do it painted, because the figures aren't that great.
Well, speaking about what we can do painted, we can do, as I say, Space Hulk's all done. And I've also done the figures for Spartacus. So we can play. Spartacus. It's the best board game ever made.
Oh, yeah. I think I've seen this played. Yeah. This is the one you played.
Yeah, which
I saw you.
Not
the X-wingers.
Not fit for TV. Like, because it's very rated 18 board game. Yeah, right. where you're a Roman Dominus. Yeah, basically, it uses the overtones of the Spartacus TV series, which is pretty, sex, blood, and gore. I mean, like, but I love it. It's a really good board game for its mechanics. But we can at least. It works best in a big group, but we can certainly try it as a two-player just so you see what it's like.
Have you noticed? I'm looking at the last season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
There was much less sex and gore.
Yeah, but they had no time for it.
They ain't got no time for none of that.
They had no time for it.
Sex and gore. When you go back and see the early one, geez, man, it was all sex and gore.
Yeah, they had more time for it then. Yeah, like.
More time for it. More pedestrian rape.
Exactly. There's several options there for video board games. YouTube board games.
Okay. And hopefully the new year will have more time. Well, certainly I will. Hopefully.
Well, yeah, I mean, nice as well. But something I'd like to do, Barry, is we could do like War Master Shorts. They don't always have to be full battle reports.
War Master Shorts. What is this concept, Paul? What is a War Master Short?
Well, like, we could do things like demonstrating why that army's a good army with example. Like, what the issue of that army is or why it's particularly good, like a build and how it's set up.
A brigade or something.
Yeah, even simple things like tactics in game.
Oh, okay. War Master Short. That's the series. War Master Short.
Well, but like, I'm not saying, here's how you play War Master. I'm saying, like, this is a good tactic to try. You know, your opponent's left in a. If you can engineer this situation, you're in a good position. And here's why it's a good. Here's why it's a good.
I remember. What's that name of that company that do videos? Just wargaming videos.
Well, there's loads. Which one do you mean?
The I can't remember the name.
Let's Play or
Beast
something?
Beast of War.
Beast of War. Yeah.
Yeah. They did a War Machine one that was pretty wank.
Well, yeah, because they're probably not War Machine players.
Yes. Well, we could do it slightly better than that, maybe.
Well, yeah, of course.
Tactical, but like start from the beginning, but try and give them some tactical insight rather than saying, Yeah. Want to boost this attack roll.
Exactly. Like, not as dumbed down as that. But simple things like how with the uses of flyers. You could do a short on flyers. Why are they good? Or
what makes a good flyer? Clickbait.
What makes a bad flyer? And then you could set up the situations and explain it with visuals.
I will tell you now, a bad flyer is better than no flyer.
Yeah, exactly. But you can say
if you gave an ogre army a flyer, they'd bite your fucking hands off.
Yeah, but you can say why, and we can talk about it. And like, here's a tactic you can do with flyers. A totally legit tactic.
One thing about flyers is bad flyers are cheap.
Yeah.
How much are they? Like 65 points.
Jesus, man. Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's good value. Because they've only got one less armor than the non-flying infantry, haven't they?
Yeah.
And they're generally monsters.
Yeah, generally. I mean,
bad flyers are better than no flyers. Mm-hmm. Okay, right, so what are we on next? That's me. I've done my Christmas present. What did Paul get?
I didn't get much. No.
You didn't get much, no?
So I gave, were you
the little boy that Santa Claus forgot?
No, I gave my family a whole big list, but our presents, it's all about my sister's kids and stuff for Hazel now. And my parents did really help us with the new sofa we've got, so it's like, you know, real
fun. You got a sofa for Christmas?
Yeah, basically. You know, like...
Merry Christmas.
You know, and, Hannah did get me... Hannah and Hazel, you know, did get me...
Hazel chose the colour.
Yeah, did get me a new painting mat. GW's done, like a roll-down paintings mat. Which would be useful because I can take that to work and like paint.
Does it have like somewhere you roll your brushes into it? Or?
No, it's not. It's not as nice as that. But it's just basically a nice another space I can lay down on a table and paint
at work.
At work, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And also they gave me this model stamp, basically a painting. Oh, I don't know how to describe it.
Butt plug
that holds a model, a 28mm model.
And then you insert the model with the butt plug.
And then you can paint the model. So it's got a spring at the top and it paints down.
You can eject the model once you've inserted it.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
So you can take those Sigmarines and insert them up your arse and leave them in there, yeah?
You certainly could, yeah.
Okay.
So I got that as well. So happy. Like any two little small things.
Well, the small things that bring happiness.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, it's if I dictate too much what to get, then I might as well just get it myself, essentially. Yeah,
that's kind of what I do. Mm-hmm. So you may have heard the man cough there, the old remnants of the man flu. Right. So sorry if I sound sniffly and coughy.
Yep.
What does it? Oh, we have a chaos sponsorship.
Yep.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes, and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today! Soft foam, hard cases.
Okay, so we're back, and now we're on to our main topic, which is...
Warmaster Worlds.
No, come on, man.
No, New Year's Resolutions.
New Year's Resolutions.
Sorry.
Resolutions.
Resolutions.
Revolutions. Resolutions. Revolutions. Right, so.
Do you want me to go first? Or
I don't mind, so. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first. It's like, okay, I'll copy your format.
It's not unlike you, sir. So I've broken it down into three sections. Three sections. Things I would like to play competitively, things I'd like to play friendly, and stuff I'd like to acquire. Mm-hmm. So it's quite minimal. But the first game, obviously competitively, is Warmaster.
Yep.
I've heard it's good. It's good. I think competitively, I didn't play in the January tournament in 2017, because I think I ran it.
Yep.
And I don't think I played in the June tournament, because I think I ran that as well.
Yeah.
And then I had the debacle of the spring Pry Wiz, where I took that wonky high off list and went 0-3. But then I think I did all right after that. I think the next three tournaments that I played in, well, we won.
Yep.
So we won a doubles, didn't we? That's this year?
Yeah, we did.
We won a doubles this year?
Yes, we did.
I won a team event this year?
Yep.
I won a singles this year?
Yep.
That's pretty good. Buffing up stupid high elf build. I'll never live that down. So I'm not sure I can compete with that because I only played in four tournaments.
Yep.
And won three, so I'm not sure we can keep that up next year. But I'm running the one in January. I'll try and do well at the World Intergalactic Tournament.
The thing is, Barry, is that if you, if on the January one, if we have the odd number, so you're playing, you don't have to, like, you know, you can win the event if you, you know, like, you play well enough.
So that's what I do. Just bring Lizardmen and fucking stomp everybody.
But why not?
Eight Saurus of Justice.
Why not? I mean, I'm not sure what I'm going to use for that. I'm really tempted with that Chaos build that I put down in our last episode. Like, I tried it out, you know, and yeah, I quite liked it.
Didn't have a lot of Marauders.
They had eleven
Marauders.
Yeah, I quite liked it. It was fun to use. Oh, that's something I missed out on. I played a game.
I knew you did. I don't know why you didn't mention it.
Yeah, I forgot about it. Anyway, yeah, I played after we recorded that episode that night. I played against Phil and tried it out. Chaos and Chaos.
Which Phil? There's a lot of Phils.
Oh, sorry, another Phil. Yeah, Phil Elliott.
Phil Elliott.
No, yeah, Phil Ills. Yeah, sorry, Ills. Oh my God.
There are a lot of Phils.
I can't even remember.
Life.
So, like, yeah, I tried it against that Phil.
And what was he using? Dwarves?
He used Chaos as well. So he actually used the a build that was very similar to yours.
He bought that army off Handsome Dan, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. It was good fun. It was tight because, I quite like. Yeah, eventually my numbers won out.
I'm surprised you allowed him to play that. You have a little bit of a little thing about what do they call blue on blue?
I know. But
faction on faction.
Chaos is probably the best one for it because they can be quite diverse armies. We had two very different armies.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, I've hijacked your bit there. Carry on with your resolution.
I don't know what I was saying. I was saying about Warmaster, wasn't I?
Detailing competitive games.
My number one competitive game of 2018 will be Warmaster.
Mm-hmm.
If you can call it a competitive game. I believe it is a competitive game. I believe you can take almost as much as you can throw at it, Warmaster.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to give Guild Ball a go.
Yeah, okay.
I'm with... What was that team I bought? I can't even remember, mate. You bought it for
Blacksmiths.
Blacksmiths.
Mm-hmm.
They were really weird. Do you know that they half the team are like
Masters and apprentices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So half the team are really, really, really good.
Yeah.
Like almost captain level good.
Yeah.
And half the team are like a little bit better than mascots.
Well, that's the idea. And one of your masters is the team captain and gets a few extra abilities. And that's it. Yeah,
but yeah, it's going to be weird. I have to look at, because the mascots or the apprentices,
yeah,
they're still worth 2 points if you take them out.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah, okay, it'd be weird. But yeah, what sold it to be the person on the horse?
Yeah, why
on
not?
A horse?
Why not? Yeah,
on a horse. So that seems fair. I mean, how quick could they possibly go on a horse?
Very quick. In fact, yes.
So Guild Ball is my second. Do you want to do your competitive games or do you want me to go on?
No, okay, I'll do my competitive games. So
I'm only having two because my brain cannot hold more than two rule sets at any time.
I think that's very sensible. So for me, it's Warmaster, obviously. The event I'm not going to participate in terms of not play in is going to be the London GT.
World! It's called the World!
The World!
You made it!
I did not say call it World!
It's called the World! It said World Championship!
Alright, the World Championship. I'll be the bridesmaid to that one. Yeah, I did not choose that title.
You didn't object strongly enough, I fear.
Oh, it's alright, I don't mind.
The Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The World Series.
Yeah. So, there's that, obviously, because that's what we're about. I'll be playing Guild Ball as well at local club events. The guy that we had that was running them is sadly going to be moving away.
H. Harvey Bumington?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's like, those events were, you know, put down. So somebody else in the club is stepping up to run events, which is a shame.
Tell me, where's H going? Far away?
Not far enough that he won't be able to.
Okay, who's the person taking over?
So at the moment, Roscoe was going to take some on, and our Phil, in our life.
Ewell.
Yeah, Ewell would also want to do some as well.
Okay, top men.
Yeah, you know, exactly. I mean, I'll gladly support them if that's needed the case.
Okay.
For what Guild Ball is to me, I don't need to travel far to play a Guild Ball tournament. I'd run, keep it in-house, happily playing them. I want to use the engineers team, the ranged game. I want to try a team that uses a ranged game a lot.
Ooh. Because they're just Spider-Men and cogs.
Yeah, stuff. Basically, yeah, because when I played, the other teams I've played in Guild Ball have never had much range game at all. I just want a tie team that just goes for that. And I'll see what I can do with it. You know, because that's probably more my team anyway. Shoot and run away. Yeah, in a football
team
game.
Team coward.
Yeah, team coward. I'll add to competitive games, I will add War Machine.
Wow.
Because there is a local scene, and if I'm free, I will play with the War Machine. I'm not going to travel far for it. You know, like I'll play the local ones because I quite enjoy War Machine, and there's some interesting signalists that I quite like, and the guys playing it are fine. You know, it's I've always enjoyed it as a game system.
I agree, but my problem is that in order to play now,
yeah.
There's too much learning for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, totally. Like,
I know that's weird, considering I was a press ganger until, like, 12 months ago.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Moved so fucking far.
Exactly. I only know Signar now. I have to ask a lot of questions about other people's armies. Like, what is it? What does this do now? Or what's that?
There's too much stuff. So if I'm taking multiple lists, you need massive fucking bags. I'll get a toolbox of stuff that I carry around of non-models and then a massive battle foam bag. So what I'm going to do for SmogCon, I'm going to take my Monpok, which is in a box, and I'm going to take Guild Ball, which is in a very small box.
Oh, hang on. You're taking Monster Apocalypse to SmogCon? Who are you playing Monster Apocalypse against?
In the Galactic Championship.
Is there?
No, there wasn't last year.
Yeah, like...
that's the plan. But I'm not taking War Machine.
Can I borrow stuff and be part of that?
If you like, yeah, of course.
Ooh.
Oh. Four factions.
Oh, that you do, right, okay. Like, this could be quite fun.
I'll bring multiple factions while I go.
Yeah, right, okay.
I'll bring Guild Ball, because I'm not dragging all the War Machine stuff for... Yeah, so...
Excellent.
So when I say I'm doing Guild Ball competitively, that means that's the game I'm going to try and get good at.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I'm going to win any tournaments, because the road is long.
Oh, no,
and I don't do tournaments.
Exactly, and I do hear this latest Farmers, like the Thresher issue, is a bit of a problem. Like, they might have made the current Farmers too good.
You know, Farmer Giles.
So Farmers are a new team that's out. The captain of their team is a bit bonkers. Now, people have said, "Oh, well, he's new, and you don't know how to people have had to play against him yet." But he does sound a bit a no-brainer, to be honest. As in, like, that sounds, maybe they've overbalanced it. But we'll see. I mean, I have not played against a Farmers in a serious game yet, so I'd like to see what I think.
Okay. Right, so that's you're doing three competitive games.
You've got
more time than me. You've got more time.
But you say three, but really, I'm travelling. I'm committed into Warmaster, the whole scene that it is.
Yeah, exactly.
And the others will be fitting around my shifts. So
at the moment, I think there are only four tournaments for Warmaster that I'm aware of. Next year.
At the moment, yes.
Because
there's some to be booked.
There's one in the Midlands.
But that hasn't got a date yet.
Well, there's only three then. And there's one in Scotland that hasn't got a date
yet.
So there's three. I'm booked in all three.
Yeah. And then there's three, and there's two others that have yet to be... So there'd be five in total.
Okay, so I'll commit to four or five of those.
Yeah.
Depends on the Scottish ones, it's going to be the hard one.
Yeah.
And then Guild Ball, I don't know. Maybe I'll get one, maybe I'll get none.
Yeah.
Maybe SmogCon's the only thing I do. Who cares?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who cares? Right, so next, friendly games.
You start.
Well, I'm enjoying my 40k a bit too much, if I'm being honest.
Okay. It's the rich chocolate that it is.
I think they do play this well, GW. They got a lot of like easy build shit coming out for Nurge.
In fact, they're expanding their Nurge range. Do you see how they released the they did that as a preview? I thought it was brilliant.
No,
they did that the 7 days of Nurgle song.
Right.
On Warhammer TV?
I don't know this Warhammer TV.
So funny. Like, basically, that's where these two painters, that have gotten really popular, like, doing really short video shorts on how to paint something specific. Like, this is how you paint this base, and this is how you paint this model. They present them well, they've grown into their roles lovely, and, they've even got catchphrases going, like, two thin coats. They always like they're always banging goats on about.
Instead of one thick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, they were like, we must paint two thin goats, and they've become like celebrities with it.
Okay.
And on Christmas, and they did two things recently. Really funny videos. They did, you know, combat cards, the things from the 80s.
Top trumps.
Well, they've got a new combat cards, and the way they released the video. Yeah, like a Dragon Ball Z style like presentation of them was hilarious. Like, it's worth... That's generally funny.
I thought they were staffers. I didn't realise they were blodgers.
No, they are staffers. They are GW staffers.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, like, they make funny videos as well. And they did one, I'll show you later, the 7 Days of Nurge, which is a Christmas song about Nurgle.
Right.
On the first day of Grandfather Nurgle gave to me a blight king in a blight tree or something. It's fun, and they're showing new models.
Right. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. So I needed some cultists to do some ridiculously cheesemongers.
So what, going away from Death Guard or just keeping Death Guard?
Death Guard can have cultists,
surely.
Oh,
they can, okay. All right. Yeah.
And the tactic there, for those of you that don't know or don't care, I'm going to tell you anyway, is what you do is you put these cultists up front, and then you put your pox knockers behind them, and you use a stratagem.
So brave. Go on.
That allows any model to be killed within 7 inches of a poxwalker unit.
Yeah.
To be added to the poxwalker unit.
Yep.
So then.
So that one wound guy becomes another one wound guy.
But a better one. But then, this is where the real killer bit is. I make you shoot the cultists.
Ah, right, okay. With another stratagem.
So now you've got to shoot the cultists. So you kill the 20 cultists, wasting your whole fucking round turn of shooting them, because I make them harder to hit with a psychic power.
Yep.
And then everyone you kill becomes a poxwalker. And normally they're limited to a maximum of 20 poxwalkers in a unit.
Yep.
Which keeps them under control.
Yep.
But that's on the. You can only buy 20, but they can go above 20.
All right, so they can gain more.
So once you kill the cultist, the pox unit will be 40 strong.
So, in effect, you make your opponent's shooting phase only help you.
Yes.
That sounds pretty filth.
This is very filthy, especially when playing against stuff like Marines using like loads of plasmas. Shoot away, Marines, shoot away. That's pretty good, but I only managed to get 20, and I only managed to get 20 cultists by buying an entire Dark Imperium box set.
Ouch. Like, yeah,
but I was hoping I'd be able to flog some off, but I hadn't realised how much hatred there is for Dark Angels.
Yeah.
But they got a new book coming.
They do.
So hang on to it, fire them off, because when people are going to, aren't they? What's your big issue with the Dark Angels?
I always liked Dark Angels.
Not enough to buy them.
Well, yeah, but like, I don't need them.
So what is, they're the guys with the candles.
They
got like, I never quite understood how they're in battle in space, so they've got like candles on their legs and stuff.
They're special candles?
Yeah, four candles.
Basically, Dark Angels are the First Legion, and they...
The First Legion? What, the numero uno?
Yeah, number one. Legion number one. Yeah.
The big guy, like the right-hand man. First created?
Yes, yeah.
Emperor's chosen?
Yeah, all of that. Yeah, like,
why have they got such a bad rep?
Because, like, the people criticise them because their fluff isn't very, they don't like it. They like, the whole Fallen, Hunt the Fallen, Traitor Dark Angels, you know, is an issue. Basically, in the Heresy, the Dark Angels that stayed on Caliban got disillusioned by being left behind and turned traitor.
Oh.
So when the Dark Angels Legion, like Lionel Johnson, came back, and he was like, "Oh my God,
Lionel Johnson—that's the Primarch."
Their Primarch, when him and his fleet came back to Caliban, and they're like, after helping win the Heresy, he was like, "Oh my God, some of our guys have turned traitor. No one can ever find out about this." And that's the big secret of the Dark Angels, is that some of them turned traitor.
Wow. And but what I liked about Dark Angels was there was like multiple builds, so it was like your normal like tactical marine build, but then there was like a death wing, all Terminators, boom.
Yep.
I remember Sherwin had one of those.
Yeah, he did.
Like 50 Terminators, bang.
Way more than 50. Yeah, but yeah, go on.
Sounds like Sherwin. Uh-huh. Like an extreme build.
Uh-huh.
And then there was like the Raven Wing, which is all speeders and
bikes. Yeah.
And bikes.
And,
land speeders
and in
bikes.
The fluff, if you looked at like Heresy fluff, that they had far more wings. They had like the Iron Wing, which was all tanks. So they had more. Basically, they're the First Legion. They could do anything. Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll send them off. I'm sure they'll Monsters Dark Imperium or whatever the fuck it was called.
Yep.
Go out of Dark Vengeance, go out of stock, then it'll go up. I didn't pay much for it. I think I paid like 50 quid for it, brand new, delivered with a Citadel hobby set, which was worth 20 quid.
Oh, well, that was a good buy then. Yeah.
Oh, no, all I want is a cultist. I might use the Dread, maybe.
Yeah.
But, yeah, maybe not. Anyway, so that's that. So I'm going to play 40k. You play 40k, sir?
Yeah. So oh, hang on, I'll just pick up my one here. So my hobby resolutions would, as a, for friendly games, yeah, I'd play 40k, okay, because that allows me to, as in, pay some people at the club I'd like to play, like in a game system, and that's the game they can play. And also there's Marvel as well.
That's Marvel down too,
yeah,
sir.
That's a good, like
that's my friendly game.
Mm-hmm. And
I've got to be realistic, I think that's, I'm already on 4, so that's probably me nearly done.
Yeah, and
with board games
and
stuff.
I'd like to do Necromunda as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a chance with Necromunda.
Yeah.
I'm glad you didn't say the other one. What was the other one?
What other one?
The card driven.
Oh, Shadespire.
Shitspire. Bastards. You old bastards. Merry Christmas, you bastards. Mm-hmm. Right, and then on my to buy list, because I'm trying to keep this mod as the to buy list.
Yeah.
There's only one thing I want to get, and it ain't easy. There was some guy like on Facebook. I can't remember who it was. He's got, I don't know if he's English, but his fucking typing's awful. He needs to get smaller thumbs or something, because like every other word's misspelled, he's worse than me.
Right.
And he was saying that, you know, it's not that expensive for the what I'm after. I'm after a battle of the five armies.
Yeah.
Box.
Yeah.
He said, oh, they go for buttons. They're like the only one I've seen on eBay recently went for about 140, and it didn't even have a rule book.
Well, put out an appeal. Okay, listeners, does anyone have a Battle of the Five Armies set for a reasonable money?
Yeah, that's
right.
We'll
get Barry is interested. Yeah.
I'll keep my eyes on eBay, but obviously the UK is very expensive for this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, what would you expect to pay? There's not actually that much in the box. There's a hill, but... Okay, the GW Hills weren't cheap, these big...
Modular Hill.
Modular, yeah. There's like two halves of Modular Hill. They're probably like 40 quid on their own.
What would I expect to pay right now?
Mm.
I'd probably... If it was complete, I don't know, like 75, 100?
Oh, you have to go way more than that.
Yeah, probably, but that's what I'd want to pay.
Yeah, I mean, 100 would be good. Yeah. Like, I'd probably pay 150.
Really? Oh, okay.
I don't really want to go much north
of
that.
No, God, no.
There's a danger they're going to reprint this bastard, because if they do Warmaster, I'm pretty sure this is what they'll do.
Don't hold your breath for that.
I'm telling you, because those metal moulds that they used to spunk out these plastics, they last forever.
Uh-huh.
So they could quite happily have those moulds sitting around and just send them back and say, oh, there's another 20,000 copies of this fucking game. It's not like having to get some droid sat there on a bloody casting machine with his metal, pouring it in and hoping they come out in one piece.
No, I suppose not.
The plastics just come out every time. Boom, boom, boom. So I think, if anything, they'll reboot this game.
Oh, okay. Right, that's interesting.
Rather than Warmaster.
That's an interesting idea. Yeah.
And they could get a £100 box set, and people are clamming for it.
Makes you wonder why they didn't, actually, because obviously they've support their current third main game sim is the Hobbit strategy battle game.
Yeah.
You know, makes you wonder why they don't.
Well, this guy's putting his poker in lots of fires, isn't he, now, the new CEO?
Yeah.
So maybe it will come round.
Because you would think, because that isn't...
It's really easy to choose. It's not expensive.
Yeah, because when they did Battle of the Five Armies originally, they hadn't covered any of the Hobbit ground yet. Now they have done it all extensively. It makes you wonder why they don't just reproduce it. Like
I don't know.
Yeah, but you occasionally do like, oh, we're bringing back this box game for a limited print run.
Yeah, this is the one.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it retailed for 100. So I mean, you could then pick it up for what, 75?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be. I'd probably get a couple of them.
Yeah. Two sets and play a bigger Battle of the Five Armies.
I picked up quite a lot of the miniatures. I've got like maybe 20 units of the miniatures already.
Wow. Okay.
The little plastic ones, but. Yeah,
So if you picked up that, who would you be? Would you be the goblins?
I don't really mind.
Or would you want to be like Dane and the forces of good?
I do fancy Bjorn.
Bjorn? Oh, that means you're the good guys then. Bolg and the goblins.
Have you seen the price on the metal ones? Because they did some metal expansions.
They're ridiculous. They're like one of the most expensive things you can find.
£95 blister.
Oh, no, just ridiculous.
What?
No, ridiculous. They did a cool sculpt of Smaug. How they did the dragon like his wings outstretched and he was turning in midair and the bottom wing was touching the ground and that's how he was attached to the base.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
All metal?
All metal.
Or more like on one wing?
Yeah, well, yeah, on one wing touching the ground, yeah.
Brilliant.
It was lovely, you know, like, that's how you do a fantasy dragon in midair.
I think there was even a frost giant they did or something. I think it looks awesome. Yep. I mean, obviously, War Masters, again, I love. Mm-hmm. I love The Hobbit. I love the Lord of the Rings kind of the universe.
Yep.
So what could be better?
Yeah, yeah.
What could be better? Mm-hmm. I didn't paint it and paint it. But anyway, so we'll see if I can pick that up next year. Yeah, that's me. That's all I'm after next year. Battle of Five Armies.
So for me, it would be, at the moment, like, touch wood, there's nothing that isn't out. There's nothing that's out that I would need to get hold of. So I'm going to try this doing the thing this year, where I'm going to try and see if I can keep my hobby spend, as much as incoming, outgoing, is keep it the same. So to Kickstarter this, is in terms of like to give me some funds to begin the year with, I've decided to drop out of 30k, and I've got a buyer in America who's picking up my stuff for me. Yeah,
for America.
For what I asked for. Yeah, so that's quite cool.
Post the fucking post.
I don't know. I haven't worked that out. I've got to weigh it up first.
It's £100 for the stuff and £100 post.
No. Hopefully, a lot of it's plastic. So, okay. We'll see. Yeah, but he did buy it off me for what I asked for. You know, so there we go. I advertised it on the 30k Ultramarines group. You know, Facebook group. So like,
Your painted stuff is this?
Oh no, it's just base. It's just built in. It's basically built and primed. You know, and I found a buyer from that quite quickly. Several interest buyers actually, and I asked for a reasonable amount of money, not ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that will start me well into the green, and I'll see how far I'd see what I can do with it, what I decide to do with it.
I mean, when you say breaking even, are you including things like painting, like commission painting?
No. I won't, because it's not exactly right now that it's not like money's really an issue. It's like this, you know, this is the only thing that I do that costs anything, actually, at the moment. So I'm not going to include like the food we're going to eat at Warmer World, for example. That's not part of it. That's just life. You know?
Well, that makes sense. But when paying your commission painter to paint your stuff, is that included?
Oh well, I have to see. I mean, if it gets too far the other way. Then like, ooh, what am I doing? Am I? You know, I mean, these are only like my own rules. I'm putting.
There's quite a lot of snow up here. We're the Northerns now.
So like, I'm only putting in like rules for myself. I can break these rules at will. You know, like I'm just seeing if I can do it. You know, like, and actually Simon's running out of stuff to paint for me. So
jeez.
You know, so it won't.
Jesus. So I did think about one thing I would like to do. I need to get a demon army.
Yeah.
But that's going to be hard work.
Manistrum, Ministrum.
Yeah, but there's no cav, man. It's all about a cav.
No, you have
and flyers
to,
and stuff.
You have to think up that.
Yeah. But, okay, we'll see what we can do. Blackgate miniatures, etc.
Yeah.
A demon army. Because I think they'll be absolutely filth, man.
Oh, demons? Oh, my God.
They'll be peak worthy.
They always were filth.
Because you've got to think, why are there no fucking demon armies on the table? It's probably because people can't bastard get them.
People can't get them, yeah.
Because it's not just like, I've got a battalion of foot. Nobody gives a shit about foot demons.
Yeah.
It's like, you need to get all the chariots and fucking flyers and stuff in.
Yep.
I said, people do care about foot infantry, to be fair, because demons are pretty good. You'll probably get 8 of them.
Just two brigades.
Two full brigades.
Mm-hmm.
I think I once played very early doors. I don't know if it was even on tape. When we maybe did the demon route. I think I used 12.
Yeah.
12-foot demons. It's just like, And two flyers. And I don't think there's much left after that.
Yep.
Because I think it was the list where you could have 5 wizards.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was bad.
Oh, I'm growing more demons.
It would have been very good under Revolution. It wasn't very good at the time.
No.
But demons. What, are you after any more armies? You've only got like 14 or something.
No, not at the top of my head. Unless, obviously...
Have you not got an Araby army yet? They're very...
No, I would love an Araby army.
You could use mine.
Yeah, yeah.
Fair.
But
it's fully painted.
Yeah, yeah. So, not off the top of my head, But I would, obviously, if I came across a deal, I won't say no to a deal.
Oh, you could never do that.
You can never do that. No, no, no. Like, there's sometimes you just got to take a deal for what it is. Yeah, but I am, yeah, it would be great to be at a stage where everything I've gotten hold of is done. You know, because at the moment, I say, once the Chaos Door seems to be based up and then they're finished, and like, it's just nice to go, it's nice to think of events and like have so many options.
I'll tell you what I did. I was packing, we're moving back into our house from the house next door.
Oh, is it far, is it a long move, is it?
What do you mean? Oh, no, it's not particularly long. But there's a lot of fucking stuff to move, which right. is why I say I can't find my empire, because we're fucking moving again for the millionth time. But it's worse than that, because our house is still fucked, because it's still being done. But my in-laws are starting work on the 2nd of January, so their house has got to be empty.
Yeah, yeah.
So now it's just like, well, we've got to put stuff somewhere, but there's nowhere in our house finished. So it's going into garages and everywhere, but then my garage is leaking, the roof's leaking, so that's got to be fixed.
What,
anyway.
What was the original date that was agreed?
There wasn't a date.
Oh, okay.
There wasn't a date. But, I mean, yeah, the guys...
How about the year? What was the original year?
I swear it will be finished by this time next year.
Really?
It will be finished, but...
Will it?
Yes, by this time next year.
Okay.
Which is only, like, 2.5 years of building works. And the house will look nice when it's done.
And so then anyway, you sell it.
I came across the amount of fucking stuff that I've got that's not even been built yet. And, oh, my God, it's a lot. I guess, like, oh, shit, I bought an army. Oh, no, there's another one here. There's another one here. So, like, there's a Nippon army.
Yep.
There's an undead army. There's a Bretonian army. Have you got your Bretonian army?
It's game worthy. It just needs to be painted.
Man's in a box.
Yeah.
Then there was another fucking army. There was like four armies in this, just sat in a box.
Ooh.
In bags.
Right. So, okay.
You just keep buying them. They just go in a box, and then you forget you've even got them.
Mm-hmm.
So stop buying stuff is the answer, I guess. Although I won't ever. UK GT update. That was our New Year's resolutions. Very nice.
Okay. So,
anything else to add?
No. I think I've covered everything that I.
You're going to win one this year. Oh, you won one last year. You're going to win one this year.
Well,
tournament.
I didn't do nothing wrong in the last Tri Wiz. I won all my games, but that wasn't enough, was it?
Wasn't it the one before? You did the same.
Yeah. So I stopped getting
silver twice.
Stop getting screwed by strength of schedule. That's what I need to happen.
didn't you win the gig silver the one before?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, yeah.
In the singles.
Yeah, I didn't lose, but I'd like. Anyway,
you know what you need to do?
What? Get good.
Just get good. No, yeah. You need to get out of that bottom pot.
Yeah. I know.
Because
like,
I don't think Jim's... He listens to this, Jim, so I'll give you... what happens is your strength of schedule is based on what your opponents do.
Yeah.
And if you're in the bottom half seeding system, so you play somebody else in the bottom half, they ain't going to bring a lot of strength of schedule generally. So you need to get in the top and just get good.
Oh, I beat everybody who's put in front of me. What more do you want?
Just get good, Paul. Get in the top.
Never mind.
And
that's fine.
Then you'll be good.
Then I'll be good. But yeah, UK GT update. So, ticket numbers are good.
I've signed up.
Yeah, yeah. So we're well into, I think last check, 16 odd players, and then it might be more, but I don't get informed every time a ticket sale goes. So we're into.
And only about £400 in prize support so far.
Yeah, yeah, only. Yeah, so there's it's a four round event with a fifth casual round at the moment, but a couple more people to sign up and it'll be five rounds. But the convention itself is in danger of selling out. That has got 600 tickets sold, and
Jesus.
I think they're nearing their capacity. So. Yeah, that's actually a real danger. It's not that our event sells out, but the actual thing overall, no more people can attend.
I heard that SmogCon, that's as big as it ever got, 600. 600's a lot of nerds, man,
a lot
in
of
one
people.
Place.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a lot.
Yeah, yeah, so that's more of a danger. So if you are listening to this and you want to go to the London GT, you don't want to be in a situation where actually you can go, so buy yourself a ticket.
It's weird, I can't think how... If we've still got like space on our tables, unless they nick our tables off us, because the floor pass just gets you into the building, doesn't it? The event ticket.
Yes.
So as long as there's a seat for you to sit at a table, then they should be able to sell you an event ticket.
I think so. But I mean, when the last update came round, they're like, Gio, and I asked the guy at the point of contact I have, is the convention in danger of selling out? He said, yeah, very much so. So maybe they have.
Well, if people do want to come, Get yourself signed up.
Yeah,
it only costs you, I think it's 20 quid for the event, tenner for the convention.
Yeah, yeah, so the War Master is half the price of anything else. And because
that's how Paul rolls.
Because that's how I roll. And then you need £10 to get in the door. So that's pretty damn good.
And then we'll be travelling in from Chelmsford. So if people want to come and stay in Chelmsford, feel free. Hopefully, I'll have something like a house.
Yeah. You know, if you get flights to Stansted, then it's possible we'll come get you.
Good. Right. So it's looking very good, Paul.
Yeah. It should be fantastic, honestly. There's only one event I can think of that could be bigger in scope than what we are doing in May. And so if I can speak to a Mr. Andy Hall or get a message to him today, I might proposition him for an even bigger event.
Oh,
for War Master Legends. I'm honest about the amount of attendances, but like, as in like what conceptually you could do.
If you've got a swing rig, what did they say?
You never get a home run if you don't swing big.
That's what they say, Mm-hmm. Swing big.
Yep.
Swing for the fences. Right, so is it down to me now? Blackgate Ministry.
I want a back noise of a violin going in the background.
So, what's that number? Two thirds. Of the Master Molds are done. Now,
has that mean two thirds of the people have got their stuff?
No.
Again.
Master Molds are, without a doubt, the fucking scariest thing you'll ever work with. So basically, you take your sculpts and you put them into the same process that you do metal miniatures. But these sculpts are like epoxy resin or whatever. And then when you open it up, you pray to the gods that the sculpts aren't destroyed. And that if they are destroyed, at least the cavity works so you can mold from it. And then you can make enough spins of the master mold to make production molds. But it's scary as fucking hell, man. Because like you've spent thousands of pounds on these sculpts. And then you put them in under like 5 tons of pressure and all this heat and stuff, and you bake this cake and you pull it open. So luckily, everything I've put in so far has worked perfectly, and the masters have come out, so that's good. So I've got one more master mold to run next week, and then we're on to production molds. I have been doing some of the production.
Would you let me be your apprentice then?
Padawan?
Yeah.
If you want, the machine I'm using now is much easier.
Oh, okay.
Much easier. The one I used before was a pain in the arse, the sentry cast thing. But I upgraded my machinery, which makes it much easier.
Yep.
So, one issue though, and I'm still trying to work with this issue. If I was a punter, I would kind of let it pass. It wouldn't bother me overly. But as a producer, it's kind of one of those things that's it's not 100%, so it annoys me. So I'll explain the problem. It's like on the Mammoth. There's like a big lump of metal that is the Mammoth, and it's on a base, and the base is like at a 90 degree angle to the Mammoth.
Right.
Like, so the if you imagine the Mammoth's vertical and the base is horizontal.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so the way that the spin casting works is that the metal's thrown out, and it's creating a vacuum in the fucking base to mean that the bases aren't forming properly. So yeah. The Mammoth is perfect, but the base has like holes in it, and you go like, why the fuck is this happening? So you try and regate it, and you try and revent it, and then I put some extra vents in, and then it keeps doing it. Doesn't matter what temperature I spin at, doesn't matter what fucking how fast I spin it, what pressure I apply.
Does it have to have a base? Could you do it without a base?
I could, but that's the way it's been designed.
Right,
it's designed to have a base.
Okay.
So it's not like, this is why, if you look at a base tug on GW stuff,
yeah,
it's in the same plane as the miniature goes.
Yeah.
So the you gate into the base and then the metal's pulled along into the miniature, but it's not having to work against the way it's being pulled.
Yeah, okay.
When it goes into the base.
Yeah.
But this base is like perpendicular to the miniature.
Yep.
So all the pull, it's kind of pulling metal away from the base.
Yeah, yeah.
The plane of the base. So, if I rejected everything that didn't come out 100%, as I normally would do, I'd probably reject 95% of the Mammoths.
Yeah.
And you go like, well, I can't do that because I'll destroy the fucking moulds before I make.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I need to make, I think I need to make 200 units of Mammoths, and each Mammoth.
Wow. Yeah, that's quite a good army.
It might be more than that. So they say it's 250 units of mammoths, and there's three mammoths in a unit, so that's 750 mammoths. And I'd be rejecting like 700 of those.
You mean, when do they go extinct then, mammoths, if Barry's making so many?
It may be that I would just have to lump it and say, look, these bases aren't how I'd normally anticipated it working. Yeah. And it's just like a product of, not that I'm unskilled, but it's just I'm only like 18 months, 2 years into the process of learning how to do this. And at the moment, this is kind of beyond me technically.
Yeah, okay.
I can't outsource it because it just financially isn't viable.
Yeah. I think it's reasonable enough.
So you'll have to have a look at the bases and give me some feedback. Yeah. It's not like, they're not, as if I receive them, I'd say, oh, well, the base isn't 100% complete. It doesn't look like, but then you base over the base.
Yeah, but you base over, that's the thing, Barry. It's like everyone, like the other stuff doesn't come with, you have to base these models for a game system. So,
But
I don't think it's a problem.
No, well, it's a problem in that it's not perfect. And this, normally everything comes out perfectly.
Right, okay.
So it's just annoying.
Well, when you send out your packages with your handwritten apology notes
and a free Brucey bonus, hopefully.
And a free Beastie bonus
that I'm working with Christoph about.
Yeah, then you should have their note saying to the mammoth bases, it's not perfect and I'm deeply sorry, blah, blah, blah.
Please, I'll flagellate myself.
Yeah. I should whip myself for every wrong mammoth.
It's more when you go to retail, because like I've noticed, like when you buy stuff from different manufacturers, like they're not all 100%.
No,
it's just because it's not like you're 3D printing something.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like there's like a physical process involved, and it's half art, half science, half magic. That's three halves, isn't it?
That's the magic part.
That's the magic. That's 150%.
Yeah.
I've spent a couple of weeks on these pissing mammoths, and it's annoying when you spend so much time on something and you go like, oh, it's still not what I'd want.
But admirable, Barry, but at the same time, don't let it get in the way of...
Fulfilment,
or at the end of people having their stuff. If, me as a punter, I'd be like, I wouldn't care a moment about that because I'm going to base my army.
It's weird that's what's so fucking annoying. It's like, so if you imagine I've done, say, I don't know, let's say I've done like 400 mammoths.
Yeah.
And like 380 of them are perfect in every way apart from their base. And you've got like, I can't just fucking melt these down.
No,
like,
don't.
It's
weird,
isn't it?
Don't.
Anyway, stress. Well,
two of those units you can give to me because that's what I ordered.
Right, so, crack on in the new year. Hopefully when the kids are back to school, it'll be boshed out as quickly as possible.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's me. Black Game. What else have you got to talk about, Paulus?
Well, just about what we're doing today.
Oh shit, that's important, isn't it?
Yeah. So we are on the way to Warmerworld and we're going to play a big bespoke Christmas game. It's going to be on a table that we used before that Jim has booked, which is a very cool 28mm scale Toon Kings table.
Oh, that is a good table.
Which looks amazing with Warmaster because everything looks just epic. And it's going to be a mono Toon Kings army of about 6,000 points. Probably controlled by two people, and that's probably me and Barry.
And I've told Paul that I want 12 wizards on board.
Yep, because only the best for Barry, obviously. And that'll be against a mono Empire army, probably in three chunks of 2,000 points.
Six cannon.
Yeah, controlled by three other players. And we will have at it, and we'll decide everything before we go. But at the moment, the plan away from the table was to do a big scenario of meeting engagement because that would mix it all up. That would get us playing very quickly, and I think that's well achievable in the time.
Right. Yeah. And it's going to be good fun. We'll maybe record a little bit on the way home.
Oh yeah.
Say how the game went.
We should have a quick recording to say how the game went.
Yeah. So, who do you want to talk about the sides? So it's me and Paul, Warhammer Podcast versus.
Versus Phil Lethry versus Jim Beach versus
Jim the Gent
and Simon Holyoak.
Simon, the man who's running 40 Epic.
Yeah, the big Epic. So I want to question him about some Epic stuff as well, actually. Okay. Also want to question him because he's the representative of Epic at the London GT and just see how he's doing. Yeah.
Okay, right. So, good. So we're going to call it a day now. We've nearly done an hour already. And we'll do a little bit when we finish this evening. Okay.
Yes, it'll be many a fine beer-induced tale of how Tomb Kings are the best.
need you to come pick me up, all right? I got bit by a fucking disease, dog. God damn it.
Right, so welcome back. We're on the car on the way home, courtesy of Phil again. Thanks, Phil.
Thanks,
for
Phil. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we had two meals at Warhammer World.
I know. Luxurious.
So, nutritional value of the wazoo.
Yeah.
Burger and chips for lunch and a pizza for dinner.
Yeah.
But it was good quality food.
Yeah. It's not bad. I mean,
if not the healthiest.
You have to be honest that the fact that we could park for free, was in the venue for, we could have played the game and not paid a penny. Like, Jim,
I'm sure some tight wads did.
No, but
that kind of fucking.
But it didn't cost Jim anything to book the table. He just booked it
for the whole day.
Yeah,
all day.
Mm-hmm.
And they served beer. The beer was all right.
Yeah, it's fine.
I had several San Miguel's.
I worked my way through the named beers personally.
Yeah, they didn't really look that inspiring.
No, they weren't great. But like, in fact, the nicest one was the Bugman's 6X, which was the cheapest one. No, so there we go. Yeah, like. But when in Rome,
kill me. So, we had a reasonable game. It was 3,000 points and 3,000 points of Toon King, so a big 6,012 wizard setup.
Yep.
Between me and Paul, Team War Master Podcast.
Not literally every Toon King model we could get hold of.
Well, it was more than everything we could get hold of.
Yeah, really, wasn't it? Yeah.
Because Nick only had 2,000 and we had to stretch out putting any old shit in there.
Yeah, it was not like optimal builds of, that's a good 3,000 point army.
An example of which is Paul built a brigade of Skeleton Warriors and gave them all swords. Just to spend some points.
Yeah, because just to mark them out as, because they were like the polar
super
fox,
elite, yeah.
You know, like models, I was like, oh, I'll give these all swords.
Not polar fox. We did not use polar fox miniatures.
Oh, no, we never did that, no. Anyway, but like, it was a waste of, it was, yeah, that's too much points. But like, never mind. You know, like, it sort of artificially makes them elite for not, for more points, but never mind.
So I was under the impression it was 2,000-3,000 point Toon King armies versus 3,000-2,000 point Empire armies.
Yes.
But that was not the case. That was not the case, sir. One of the players had taken it to the next level.
Yeah.
He did not bring no Empire army.
No.
So we had Phil had a very stock Empire build.
Yep. Nice and all round.
That's Paul's build.
Yeah, I think it was very, very, very straight down the line. Simon had a knight heavy build.
Yeah.
Well, I think he had 7 units of knights.
Yeah.
Of course, obviously, you've got to have the cannons and characters and your minimum chaff. So I don't really know what else he had apart from the 7 knights. Maybe a couple of pistoliers.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, like, he had the standard up, but he didn't have like a flying character. He didn't have a lot any more than the minimum infantry, that kind of stuff.
Okay, good. And finally, Jim the Gent, no longer known as Jim the Gent.
Jim the Whack.
Jim the Whack. Whack means win at all costs, apparently. Jim brought witch hunters. Now, I don't know much about witch hunters. What I will tell you is they love nothing better than to give shit quality Toon King infantry a good shoo-in.
Good shoo-in, yeah.
Because
they got a unique buff. Yeah.
Well, not only... So, basically, Jim brought 8 fanatics.
Yep.
And I think they had skirmishers.
Yep.
He had... Well, whatever they're called in this list. Orgs or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Frick. He had 8 zealots.
Yep.
Or maybe they were the ones that had the skirmisher. Anyway, everything that could get a skirmisher had a skirmisher. So 8 fanatics, 8 zealots, 2 pistoliers, 2 cannons, and a mix of characters. I think that's
probably
right.
Yeah.
Because that is your minimum. You don't have any crossbowmen or halberdiers or any of that shit.
Nope.
Just all fanatics. So the fanatics, obviously, when they charge, they do 7 attacks because they're crazy bastards.
Well, because they get an extra attack for fighting undead.
No, that's the other guys, isn't it? That's a zealot.
That's a zealot, yeah.
So fanatics do 7 attacks on them. They've got 5 basic, like troll slayers.
Yeah.
Obviously, they'll give a shit about getting shot. And on the charge, they do 7.
Oh, it's in at 6, don't you mean?
They're not getting extra off of charging. No, that's troll slayers getting.
Yeah.
Right, so 6.
Yeah.
6. And the other ones were zealots, who have 3 basic, but they get an extra one in the first round of combat against undead or demons.
Yeah.
Of which there were 8 units.
Yeah.
So that means when they charge, they hit 5. And when they are charged, they hit 4.
Yeah.
Now, considering when I charge with my skeletons, I hit 3. It's like, So we had quite a few. I was chucking like normal manoeuvres you do. Like you chuck something in the front, maybe a couple of units supported or whatever in the front, and try and raise in the back. Unfortunately, the stuff we raised in the back got absolutely fucking rinsed. It gave away 9 wounds.
Yeah, it didn't. It didn't prove the like, tactic we like. Yeah.
It's like, oh right, we may have reduced the amount of support he's got, but we just gave him 9 wounds because he vaporized the entire fucking. The entire race unit. Mm-hmm. So that was the very first mistake Paul made. He threw in two.
Mistake
units.
I made.
Well, you threw in units of chariots and 2 units of cav in the front.
Well, hey, you got to explain the setup then.
Well, you take your charge. I just.
No. But like the setup of the armies.
Okay, yeah. Go on then.
So we did it as a. We played the game as a big meeting engagement. But we decided to deploy the armies completely rather than separately. And then, that probably was the better thing to do. So, six tables, and we're like, well, it's obviously a Tomb King home table, so we assume the Tomb Kings would go set up second.
Yeah.
And the way...
we know everything.
Yeah, and the way the Empire got the three... Well, no, sorry. 2 Emperor armies and 1 whack, Witch Hunter army went
Tomb
down.
Tomb King stomping army.
Yeah, is you had in 2 corners, opposite corners... Empire players, and then in the middle was the Witch Hunters player, okay, in a V formation. And me and Barry then rolled up for where our 2 blocks of 3,000 points of Tomb Kings wing. I got in the middle, opposite, surrounded by all 3, and Barry was on in the corner between 2. So we decided early on to attack Phil, sadly, who was trapped in the corner,
meeting the sandwich
around a big Sphinx. And I was like, that will look thematic enough. We'll go for him first, and then we'll attack Jim, and then what's left of us will take on Simon.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, but Jim set up a forward brigade of just 4 units with one hero. Again, like taking advantage of scenery, but he set up well further, quite far forward, and it was too tempting a target not to attack.
Too tempting.
Okay. So I attacked it with some chariots to begin with.
And some cavalry.
And some, and some cavalry. Yep. Yeah,
indeed. And then did the normal manoeuvre, yep. raised dead in the rear.
Yeah.
That didn't go so well.
Yeah, and we got beaten.
Beaten badly.
Yeah.
So that cost you 2 units of chariots and a unit of cav.
It did, I think, yeah.
It did. And obviously the raised dead too got instantly vaporised.
Yeah.
Because even though they were. They only hit 2 because they don't count as charges,
did
they?
That's right, yeah.
We did 6 attacks, but we engaged 5 stands in the rear, and they did like 20 back. And you go,
but it was taking away the support they would be giving.
I think the 9 wounds were more than enough support.
Well, it didn't benefit us in any way.
No, it did not benefit us.
Yeah.
Then what happened in the rest? You went to sleep for quite a while.
No, I didn't.
You went in a little hiatus while.
Well, I thought that my main fight was going to be against Phil's massed cavalry in 2 brigades of 2 knights and a pistoliers, and he'd formed that twice. That's what I thought I was going to have to fight to take on. That was what I was anticipating a fight to take on. But Phil decided to back away from me, deeper into his corner.
Sensible.
You know, and give ground, essentially. So I that kind of wrong-footed me because I'd set up more defensively that side. And then suddenly, my opponent, I had to advance a bit. So that's what took me time, really. And to my right, I couldn't go against Simon very strongly because of the lovely table that we were on, and it was fantastic, but it channeled one area of attack really to him around like a big temple down the main entrance of a temple, so which I sent like my best, which is my magic sword carrying brigade with a bone giant.
They did well.
Yeah, they did do well actually. Thank you.
Giant was exceptional.
He did exceptionally well, and that was that was the only way I could really attack him. The table was so nice because it dictated out like how some of the game played actually. Was just like, oh well, I'm kind of channeled off there, and if Phil backs away there, I've got a lot of centre space to hold.
So I was trying to deal with Phil, although his halberdier brigade, which had skirmishers, took a full cavalry charge, 3 units of cavalry.
Skeleton cavalry.
Top quality cavalry, I'll have took that charge, sir, and raised it.
Yeah.
So I bounced and I hit a brigade that had vigilance in the front.
Yeah.
With two more units of my, because I had six cavalry and I committed five, and all of them got wiped out because they were all shit, effectively. And it cost me a dragon character as well.
Yeah.
So and on the other flank, Jim was giving me a scene too with his fanatics and zealots and cannons. So it got
how did you let him draw a bead to your artillery with his shooting?
Well, that was way later on in the game. He just made three moves.
Oh, right, okay.
I blundered with my general.
Alright.
Which is bad. So there's not obviously a blunder, but they couldn't move, and then he just moved three times and blew them away.
Fair enough.
I charged my Sphinx into. I managed to do three orders on my Sphinx because by this point I was getting a bit kind of desperate. So three orders on the Sphinx into the flank of a unit of pistoliers. Now Sphinx, six dice of the charge.
Yeah, because they're a monster.
Three up armor.
Best
obviously,
in the game.
Obviously, and hitting the flank. I think I've got terror as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm hitting the flank of pistoliers. So they got one dice back. Yeah.
Yep.
They shot me on the way in.
Yep.
And I took two wounds. It hit me twice, I took two wounds. They had one more attack, which hit, did another wound.
Yep, that made you badly hurt.
Yeah, well, not that it's mattered. My Sphinx, how many damage do you think he did off his six attacks?
We should have done three.
He did one, obviously, of course. He hit with five, and Jim saved four. So his pistoliers now, four stand pistoliers, mind, because they got skirmishers on them.
Yeah.
Turned round and hit my Sphinx. And that was it. So it's like, shit, man. Oh, God, like, even my best stuff does literally nothing. And then it was just a matter of time before he took me out.
Yeah.
He had two break left, because I had committed a lot on him. He had two break left from turn four.
Yeah.
And I think he finished the game with two break left.
One
and a half or something.
So basically, Barry went out like a chump.
Yeah. Like, sucker punched by the gymster. Yeah.
And Barry was the
Phil went out first.
No, Phil went out first. So basically, but I had to finish off Phil.
Oh, of course you did, glory boy. Yeah, like, I'll finish him. You'll go elsewhere.
So like, I pinned Phil essentially, and like, and I was like, right, that's one down. What I got to deal with next? Then Barry went out like, you know, Boba Fett down the Sarlacc pit. Yeah, like, I just like, you know, like off he goes. He was meant to be good, and he's not. Yeah, like.
Turns out Jim's quite good.
Yeah. So that left me versus Simon and Jim, of which I managed to, like, take out Simon.
I can't believe how much stuff Simon lost. Did he commit his infantry or something?
He's
still quite a lot of cavalry.
I seem to catch his break quite easily, but, like, the first of all, I took four units off from my, you know, my best going through the temple. You know, like, I had a great right flank. You know, one brigade managed to, like, you know, deal with that side of it lovely. I mean, the Lich Priest down there should get commendation, as well as the Bone Giant. And in fact, it went so well, I carried on advancing, and I realised that I couldn't move my Bone Giant down off the scenery, because we were ruled, okay, only...
Not too
only,
far.
Yeah, basically only infantry can scale the side of these this platform. And I was like, oh yeah, like I didn't think of that. So I like really over badly positioned myself, but managed to take Simon off. So that left me versus Jim. And then, well, I kind of, me versus Jim, really, I felt like I was against four other,
world,
you know, four people.
The world.
Me against the world, because Barry showed his true colours and started rules lawyering everything against me. and then insisted on counting my break repeatedly until he could get, like, the lowest, like, but he had to keep rechecking it. Because we had made Jim in charge of all the breaks, because he likes to do that kind of thing. You know, like, and I was being, every time I lost a break, I was like, Jim, this way, mark it down. And like, Barry wasn't happy with that. He had to, like, oh,
got to check.
Very precise when it comes to break. What is it against you, Paul?
Very precise.
You bastard.
Man, you needed one break. You had your general, you had a unit of chariots.
Yep.
And the flank of pistoliers.
Yep, that should
be. They just needed one order.
That would have been
an eight. Could they fucking do it?
No.
No.
So essentially, this 6,000 total point sided game came down to me needing to roll an 8 to, you know, take Jim's last unit of break off.
Yep.
Which I failed, and
failed.
Jim then capitalised and got me instead.
He did.
So not the same place, but with a unit of carrion I was using to just to try.
But you were quite lucky because he did 8 wounds on your 9 wound chariots.
Yeah.
And drove you back exactly 30.
Exactly 30, yeah.
So one more wound or one more drive back, but then he managed to catch your last unit of carrion.
But I think by knocking off Simon, I'd lost quite a few individual stands and smaller units, like in terms of just to finish him off, like where I need one of these fights to work, and then none of them worked. Simon took down quite a few more of my stuff than I had expected.
They should have done, yeah.
Than I expected. But never mind, that's a 4+ to hit D6 game.
One of them, he had like one break left, and he had a single stand that was. He put his general in.
He
got charged for 3 sides and survived.
Yeah, and survived. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fought it off
and ran away.
Yeah.
Brave Sir Robin bravely ran away. So yeah. Paul put up a reasonable fight. I put up a shambolic fight.
Yeah. Yeah, so
fitting of two.
I took out 2 opponents. What did you do, Barry?
You took off. Yeah. Well, I set up the first one.
I was playing against all 3 people.
I think you'll find most of the damage done to Jim and Phil were by me. While you were fanning around, doing I don't know what.
There was quite a bit of back and forth by me, but never mind.
I'd spent my load early. So no, it was good. Much fun had, and if you end up, how many do we have total units on the table? Like more than 60 aside.
Ended up down
to like one
hang on,
unit.
Hang on. In a typical 2,000 point army has about 20 units in it.
Yeah.
So 20, 46, 120 units.
Yeah. It came down to one unit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the difference. So, yeah. Happy days. It was good. And then you did your we'll try and do it again next year. We'll obviously post
definitely.
Up.
We looked around the other tables that were there, and like, oh, what could we theme a game on that one? Like, there was chat about doing a big Lizardman versus Skaven battle. Would be quite cool.
I didn't even know that was a thing, but apparently it is.
Yeah, on some of the swamp tables would look quite good if it was in Lustria.
And then you did your build it and they will come. Field
yeah,
of dreams
yeah,
moments.
Basically. So something I forgot to mention in the earlier podcast is that I've emailed Rick Priestley.
Sir Rick.
Yeah, and I've really thought about the email I was writing him, because it's like, obviously I have quite a lot of respect for this guy. You know, like, but I'd gotten his email off being on the Paint or the Minis podcast. I was given his email address. And I wrote.
He just gives them out, does he, randomly?
No, he doesn't. But like Dan, the author, the creator of that podcast, has interviewed, has talked to him. And so I emailed the guy, Rick Priestley, and just simply saying, would you like to come along on the London GT?
World Championship is called.
Like,
the World Championship.
Like, I don't know, like, you can attend as much or as little as you want, and if you wanted to come out for a drink in the evening, that would be lovely. But, obviously, he replied back, and said, thanks but no thanks, but, he can be... Like, he was a busy guy, and obviously that's a GW system, something he's left behind.
Yeah, it's in his past, he's got new things.
Yeah, and it's like, it's fair enough.
Gates of Antares.
Yeah, because he's obviously got to support what he's doing, trying to make a living.
Put food on the table, exactly.
Exactly, I totally understand that, but it was nice to have communication with the Lord our Saviour. Email God. Anyway, that also today though, after we went through the miniatures gallery, which I think is well worth a visit, by the way.
Been two twice now.
I think it's great to see. I asked the staffer, can I give a message to Andy Hall, the head of specialist games? And so he was like, I think the guy was a bit taken aback. I don't think he's ever been asked that before by someone. The best thing he could do was allow me to send an internal work email, which I did. And I just basically wrote out a quick email saying who I was and whether it's possible to A, run a Warmaster event at Warmer World? And if that is possible, is it possible to do a print-to-order Warmaster models? Do these molds exist? Can you even do that anymore? You know, but if you don't ask, you don't get.
Something I've learned.
You know, gave him my contact details in the email, and like, see if he'll reply to it or not. You know, like, very you know, short, just letter, because I was just typing it out on somebody else's computer. You know, like, and just like, okay, let's float a question. It doesn't have to be more complicated at the moment. There, I just said that I can. You know, if you want more details, here's my contact details. Get back to me. Yeah, simply, but I did say that how it financially you could bring a lot of money, essentially.
A lot of money.
You know, well, I don't know, I mean, like, well, I didn't say that, but like, you could make money on this.
You could make, you know. If it was a smaller organisation, they'd be, I'm sure they'd be interested.
Yeah.
It's like loose change to GW.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, like, but.
When do you think, like, what was that book you were talking about that sold out within an hour? Do you think,
yeah,
sold out a few more of them, mate? Well,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
like, do you think they'll reprint it? Well, maybe not.
Yeah.
Sold out in an hour.
Yeah, that's not good enough for us. We'll see. I mean, like, you know, and I floated this on the Facebook Warmaster group. It's just like, hey, I've just done this thing. See if it happens. You can, but ask. Yeah.
Fair play, sir. Fair play. Right, so is that it?
That's it. That's
finished.
It.
Yeah, 10 o'clock. Finished. 9:15, driving home. It's been an interesting day, as ever.
It's been a great day.
And, see you in a few weeks.
All right.
Would you like to know more?